unfasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
There, we welcome in the Tri-Cities listeners on the Sports Monster. Appreciate you tuning in up there and right here on the Sports Animal as well. We got two more hours to go live here from Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville. Brian, you can get a no-charge 200,000-mile warranty on your new Honda. They have payments starting as low as $149 a month. You can get up to $6,000 over your Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in. Just a lot of reasons to get over here to the intersection of selection.
Coming up over the next 2 hours, we have some guidance finally, though it's not been officially released by the SEC, of what the SEC standards will be for actually playing football games this fall as far as numbers. South Carolina has a starting quarterback. It's not quite who we thought it was going to be. Cade Mays is back, though we still have to await an official waiver from the SEC for him. And we'll take a look at some NFL storylines as we go into week two of the big league as well. We will make some picks for this weekend's college games as Chad Campbell from Rusty Wallace Honda joins us, because that's where we are at the intersection of Selection I-75 and Callahan Drive in Knoxville. Worth your drive from anywhere if you're looking for a new Honda. And a fascinating story out of the state of Georgia / the state of California on a high school prospect that moved across the country. What his parents had to do to get him eligible to play high school football in Georgia this year will surprise you. All that and more coming up today on the Eric Ainge Show. But Eric, we start. The SEC, we talked yesterday about the SEC was going to have to come up with some guidelines like the Big 12 had in order to, to set some just minimum standards for what a cancellation looks like, what a forfeit would look like, from how many players you have, how many players you will have available. They haven't officially announced those standards. That may come today, but there was word yesterday that came out about what their standards would be, and it's very NFL-like. The SEC is expected to adopt a 53-player minimum to play games this season. The difference here from the guidance from the Pac or from the Big 12 is all 53 of those guys have to be scholarship players. So you have to have a minimum 53 scholarship guys to be able to play this year. It will include is expected to include a minimum of one quarterback, seven offensive linemen, and four defensive linemen. It is pending final approval.
Say those numbers one more time.
One quarterback, seven offensive linemen, four defensive linemen, 53 total, and all of those minimums are scholarship guys.
I think that's, I mean, that's fair. That's realistic.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman's
going to leave you a little short, but it's doable.
If you had 52 players on scholarship that could play, and you were playing Alabama or Georgia, and they had their full team, based on what we did the other day, they would have more 4- and 5-star prospects on their roster than we would even have players available.
Yeah.
I really hope that that doesn't happen. I mean, the worst case scenario would be if you drop down from 85 guys to 65 guys. You know, something like that. I mean, at that point, you really have to hope that the guys that are in quarantine are not your starters. It would hurt depth some, but that's going to be this year, man. I mean, we're going to have to take it week by week and make our judgments and assumptions based on what actually ends up happening. I mean, if there's one team that ends up having people in and out of quarantine all year long, that's going to be really tough for that team to have success.
And
I don't know that I would hold it against, like, Missouri's got a new coach. I don't know that I would hold it against him if in week 2 against Tennessee he has 12 guys out. And then in week three, playing LSU, he has 17 guys out. I mean, I just, if that were to happen, I would throw those people a bone.
I think any coach this year that is having his future evaluated based on results of this year is either somebody that the AD's already decided that they don't want to be their coach anymore, or it's just something so obvious that you can't ignore that it's time to move on.
Yeah, and if you have a full roster and your team sucks and they're getting hammered, like, Muschamp has to perform well this year.
Yeah, I agree. I don't
see... Did you know he has a almost $20 million buyout?
I did not.
In year four, yeah. I just read something about it. Very unique position because it's Gus Malzahn at Auburn a couple years ago.
Well, and it's what I said when they were debating whether the SEC was going to play nine conference games or 10 conference games. How badly did they want to preserve those ACC rivalries? And, you know, a lot of the bluster from the state of South Carolina was, well, we did everything we could to preserve South Carolina Clemson. And my information was very different, that despite what was said publicly, Ray Tanner was not about to stand for South Carolina Clemson this year because he didn't want to have an exclamation point on the end of Will Muschamp's season. Because I don't think nobody wants to make a change in this economic climate. I think there will be some coaches around the country that will get extensions based on how their teams perform this year, but I think it will be rare for a coach to get fired based on what happened this year from a results standpoint, unless it's just so obvious that he's not going to ever be the guy. You're just not going to be able to, you know, okay, so you go 5-5 instead of 6-4, but in one of your losses you had 8 starters out. You know, is that a fair evaluation of a coach? Is that a situation that's ever going to come up again? Probably not. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be very difficult to use those as metrics for moving on from somebody. But, yeah, I mean, there are coaches like Will Muschamp that need to show something.
They have a brutal schedule, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had a brutal schedule before the SEC-only schedule. You know,
what's not going to happen this year?
What's that?
South Carolina sneaking up and catching Georgia, overlooking them.
No.
Kirby is going to make sure that they shut them out and score 50.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh called out Ryan Day for cheating on a call, and Ryan Day said, we're going to beat him by 100. It may not be there, but they're certainly not going to take him by surprise this year.
Yeah, no way.
Somebody sent me, because we had talked about it on the show the other day, somebody sent me that quote from Ryan Day, and I got excited for Ohio State, Michigan all over again. Yep. All right. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show, 866-656-9900. Let's go to Doug. Doug, welcome into the EA Show.
Guys, it's been so long.
It's Browns win, not Monday, but Friday.
Yeah, Browns win Friday. Very excited. Obviously, if you can't tell from the tone of my voice. I don't know what was going on down there around the end zone, but it worked out for Stefantis or whatever, Stefanski. I don't even know the new coach's name. We'll probably have a new one next year. yeah, really thrilled. Got some highlights on the schedule later on because we play the Giants, Jets, and Jaguars. Other than that, I'll believe it when I see it. Is this the most enthusiastic call you've ever heard, guys?
It's up there. It's better than Richard's.
They will lose forever.
Well,
I mean,
you're not gonna put a curse on me, are you, Doug?
No, did somebody curse you today?
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. Today. You didn't hear. No, he cursed the Tennessee. Not like used profanity. He put a curse, a hex on the Tennessee football program. His name's Richard.
On UT football.
Where's he from?
He's here in Knoxville.
He's obvious. He's not. Even though he listens all the time, he claims to not be a big fan of the station.
Yeah.
See, just like people with the Cleveland Browns, they claim that they're not, but, I mean, everybody in America is talking about them. Let's be honest, right, guys? I mean, the uniforms, Brian, I know those
back.
Are your favorites. How about those?
Yeah, huh? Good to have them back. And adding the orange pants, which they initially did not unveil, was a very nice look for them last night. The Browns look like the Browns, so now hopefully they play less like the Browns.
Yeah, they were starting to look like the Browns there for a little while. All right, well, thanks for indulging me, guys. And it's just good to be heard because
that means they won. That's a good phone call. You can call anytime you want.
Congratulations.
And have a great day.
Since you're listening, that means you like the station. You know, Richard claims he doesn't, but he
liar.
Yet he listens.
Your station sucks.
But I'll hear you in the morning.
Yeah, see you, bro.
Doug, thanks so much. We appreciate it. That's today, I believe, is the month anniversary of the famous Richard call.
Has it already been a month?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. I wonder what he's up to. I never know what he's doing. Richard, the meatloaf.
Okay. All right, welcome back to Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville. Great time to get into Rusty Wallace Honda and get your new Honda and come with that 200,000-mile warranty at no additional charge. Intersection of Selection, I-75 and Callahan Drive, right here in North Knoxville. It's the Eric Haines Show. Got a little edge there by having his former head coach as now his offensive coordinator. And we don't know Brian Hollinsky's coming back from injury. We don't know how much opportunity he's had to actually work with Bobo. But now Colin
when
Hill
did,
will be the starting
coach. When did Bobo become the coach at Colorado State?
I think he was the coach there for 4 years, maybe five. He was at Georgia prior to that.
So he's been there the whole time that Colin Hill has been on campus.
Yes.
Because 2016 was his first year.
Yeah.
He was definitely there then. Okay, I wanted to make sure of that.
Yeah.
No, I've been deep diving into the stats of him all morning long just to try to see. I mean, obviously I'll watch game film as well, but just to see if on paper, you know, what kind of player he is. Because he's got a good enough sample size from 2016 to not playing in 2017, 2018, and played a few games last year. He at least has a good sample size. We can know a little bit about him.
And he has a glorious mustache and beard, according to the photos that South Carolina has provided from practice.
Hmm.
And long, going with flowing
the,
hair.
Going with the Gardner Minshew look.
Yeah. But Will Muschamp said, I thought both guys had outstanding training camps. We can win with both guys, bottom line. But he's still putting his returning player on the shelf for grad transfer.
I mean, isn't Hollinsky just a true sophomore?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
I think he is.
And
so that I mean that would
this year back like everybody will. But.
Yeah, so I mean that's if you're Muschamp, and he said, like you just said in all the press clippings that he when he was talking about this yesterday, it was a great camp. They both did well. Hollinsky won the first scrimmage. He was the player of the scrimmage, and then Hill was the player of the scrimmage, and then in the second one, then they both played well in the third. So, you know, he said he even mentioned that the third and fourth string quarterbacks are getting a bunch of reps because you never know. It's not, I mean, obviously you have the football injury side of it, but what if your quarterback room gets put? I mean, I might treat my quarterbacks this year. I might have two of them sit in one meeting room and two of them sit in another one.
Oh,
keep
yeah.
Them away, keep, you know, like the president and the vice president, keep them away from each other.
Yeah. You put one in a bunker.
If they're all right there, then if Jarrett were to get COVID or Harrison Bailey, who's already been in quarantine, you might have to contact trace your way to the whole quarterback room not being able to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think if just put in a Tennessee example, I think you put Harrison Bailey and Jared Garantano on one side of the room or one side of the drills and all of that, and you put JT Shroud and Brian Maurer on the other side.
A big, giant glass plexiglass
in between them
yeah, for real. I mean that sounds crazy, but what do you do if you if one of your quarterbacks gets COVID and you have to contact trace not just the quarterbacks but the players on the team, but you really wouldn't be able to play.
No,
Jimmy Holiday might be your starting quarterback.
Yeah. He can do it, but you don't want that.
You definitely don't want that. You know what could be dynamic is a little wildcat package with Eric Gray and Ty Chandler both being back there, running some jet sweep, dive, triple option stuff. Now we're talking.
Kentucky went through an entire season doing exactly that, so.
Then I would argue that Chandler and Gray are both as, if not more, natural runners with the football than Bowden was.
No, I think that's probably true.
Well.
It can be done.
Let's make sure we have the Wildcat package available.
But, yeah, so an interesting look for Hill. He is a South Carolina native. He went to Dorman High, which if you've ever driven to Myrtle Beach, that's the giant high school that you look at on the side of the interstate and go, is that a college? But he went there, graduated in December 2015, and enrolled early at Colorado State for Mike Bobo. He was briefly recruited by South Carolina, from what I can ascertain, but by the time they showed him serious interest, he was already headed to Colorado State. He has torn his ACL 3 times.
Whoa.
Once on one leg, twice on another.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. So he's had some injury issues. And, of course, Helinski's coming off an injury as well. So you need these guys there. We don't know how Ryan Helinski reacted to the decision. Muschamp was asked about it and said, in the age of COVID-19, everyone has to be ready. Which tells me
the entire team has to be. You legitimately have to have everybody ready. Harrison Bailey, this year at Tennessee, in a perfect world, doesn't even see the field. Maybe he goes out there if you're blowing somebody out for a little bit, but odds are you're not going to blow a lot of teams out, so you got to get the other older guys in there as well. There's not enough reps to go around, but if we get contact tracing or COVID or injuries, he absolutely needs to know what to do. He needs to be preparing. That's hard to do as a freshman. I never had to do that. I prepared as the quarterback.
Right.
It's really hard. It's a different skill set and discipline to prepare when you're not even the number two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be true. I guarantee there will be a lot of teams in college football this year that have to go to the backup quarterback or the third string quarterback or whatever, like maybe even more than any other year.
Yeah. And it will be difficult for them because of the lack of preparation they've had for it. Muschamp said this, quote, "It was a very difficult decision. As I've said before, we can win with both guys. We have great confidence in both guys, and both guys know that. But like any other position, if someone's not playing well, we're going to make a change. But Colin's our guy." That quote I don't like. That quote, to me, puts you in a constant quarterback controversy where the guy that's out there is the guy until he's not the guy and he's looking over his shoulder. And I think, as you can testify, that's not a great way to build a quarterback's confidence.
No, it's definitely not. You know, I'm looking at his stats. Last year, he started the season pretty good. They lost to Colorado. They beat Western Illinois. And then they lost to Arkansas, 55-34. But in those games, the first three games of last year, he threw 8 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. In 2018, where he played 10 games, again, this is Colin Hill, South Carolina's new starting quarterback, transferred to follow Bobo from Colorado State. He threw, in 2018, 7 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And as a wee lad, as a freshman, he threw 8-2 as well. So I think in general, he does protect the ball pretty well. Like in over his 3 years playing, Brian, in the red zone, and we'll go over all this stuff more next week, but in the red zone, he's only 24-44, so he's only throwing for like 54.5%, but he's thrown 17 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is, it looks like, from everything I can tell, I haven't watched the film yet, but statistically, he's pretty sharp.
And Tennessee will see him 8 days from now over in Columbia. We'll come back here on the Eric Haines Show, 656-9900, if you want to join us. We'll talk a little Cade Mays, talk a little NFL coming up next as we return to Rusty Wallace Honda on the Eric Haines Show.
Need to try to do championships because everybody's got abbreviated schedules. You got conferences beating up on each other, and nothing's going to be like it should be. You don't have the unknowns. You don't have the variables in there anymore. I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Brian, what do you think on that?
I think anytime you're playing, you need to be playing for something, or it's not going to mean anything. So if Tom, they didn't play for championships, then I don't think there would be a need for them to play at all. I think they are out there and they're going to go full bore, and whatever modified championship this looks like, initially I thought it might be a little cheapened, it might come with an asterisk, but the more I watch games in professional sports, the more I think about it with college, it's going to be more difficult to win one than ever this year at every level. So I think because of how difficult it's going to be, it doesn't get an asterisk. It doesn't mean any less. It may mean just a little bit more, but at very least, I think I like that they're out there and they're still rolling out as normal.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to – I mean, on any given year, we play 8 football games. The other conferences play 9. We're going to have more opportunities to see Power 5 teams playing each other than we would on any other year. So I actually think that when you get to conference championship time, we should know even more clearly than we ever do.
Yeah, I think
– I mean, you trade Oklahoma for another, you know, for A&M, but you got to play Auburn –
Instead of Charlotte.
You know, you get those 3 gimme games at home. Now you don't have those. So, I mean, I think getting through this schedule, especially with all the adversity, you have to be playing for something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if
imagine
they
the opt-out number if they said we're no conference champions, no college football playoff, we're just going to play some games.
Yeah, it's an exhibition year.
And like, what happens if the Big Ten gets players – sorry, I keep interrupting you. What if we get big – you know how it is on remote. It's like being on the Bluetooth in your car. What if Ohio State gets 7 guys with COVID and they can't play for a week, and then they do the contact tracing and they can't, you know, play for another week and another week. You're only getting 8 games. If you're only going to end up playing like 5, I bet a lot of guys would say, no, I'm done, if we're not playing for anything.
Yeah. Because by that point, I mean, and we mentioned it briefly yesterday, if you're the college football playoff committee, and because either of them being in quarantine or their opponents being in quarantine, let's say Ohio State plays 5 or 6 games. 5 or 6-0 Ohio State isn't going to the playoff. They're not. They may be. Even if it's not their fault, you can't in good conscience put a team that won 6 games and played 6 games in over an SEC team that went 10-1 and lost in the SEC championship game.
Exactly.
You're not. I mean, you can't. Maybe that's my SEC bias showing through, but I don't think you could. The Big Ten, we talked about their numbers yesterday. More than 5% of your roster tests positive, you have to suspend all your activities for 7 days. I wonder how many games they're going to get in this year. And I hope they get plenty. I hope it's not an issue for them, but I think it's going to be. And then that becomes a question when we do talk about awarding championships. And to answer the question again, Tom, I think you have to have something to play for if you're going to play. Otherwise, the season would look even less like something that we recognize. So they've got to do it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that at this point.
No, I agree with that.
K Cade Mays eligible from the NCAA standpoint. He still needs to get a waiver from the SEC because he was an interconference transfer. Eric, I know you and I both feel pretty good about that happening, but it's not a slam dunk. But it's good to have his long NCAA nightmare over, at very least.
Yeah, I think this was the biggest hurdle to get the NCAA one. I mean, the SEC is still a hurdle. That does need to happen. I mean, if it were to not happen, he would not be able to play. And to your point, there's other players that have been waiting longer to get their answer. Surely they could just deliver it, you know, by early or mid next week for all of them.
Yeah, because you're looking at like what? There's a player Kentucky that's a quarterback that transferred from Auburn that's still waiting for his SEC waiver. He's been approved by the NCAA. And there's one other, and I had it here in my tab and lost it, but there are others that are waiting.
I mean, I just, especially because it's 2020 and we don't know how the season's going to go, you have to have all hands on deck. I mean, it would be crappy of them to not grant the waivers when the NCAA has granted the waiver.
Joy Gatewood is the player in Kentucky. He's quarterback. Right. He would be their backup quarterback this year, but transferred from Auburn, still waiting to be officially cleared. So, but yeah,
when do you want me to do my Colin Hill stats?
Give me your Colin Hill stats. We're talking about South Carolina's transfer. Give me your Colin Hill stats.
All right, when we come back, let me finish the one thing.
All right, Steve, we'll talk to you coming up on the other side as well as the Eric Ains Show broadcast live from Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville.
Glad to talk to you. I got an ACC point and an SEC point. First of all, FSU alum, big fan, really disappointed in Norville. I thought when Jimbo left, we should have taken Pruitt. I do not know why they didn't go after Pruitt. I thought that would have been natural. He was a defensive coordinator when we won the national title against Auburn. I'm really disappointed. We're in a downward spiral. James Blackman is horrible. They tell him to let him stay and tell Jeff Sims to go. Sims goes to Georgia Tech and just lights him up last weekend. It's unbelievable. And one more point, and I'll get off. All my high school buddies are all University of Florida alums. They think this is the best team since Tebow. What's your thoughts on that?
It may be talent-wise, at the top line, I don't think it's a particularly deep team, and I think this year that's going to play some havoc. But, you know, they also have to get through Georgia to take that next step and to actually be considered that type of team. Eric, I think Florida's probably going to have a very good season, but I don't think I would put it with a Tebow team because those teams won national championships.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth all spring and summer long as to whether I think Florida is the best team, most primed and ready to win the division this year, or whether it's Georgia. You know, and then you have Jamie Newman sitting out, who, from everything we can gather, it's not like JT Daniels was beating him out or going to beat him out. He really didn't even have an opportunity to do that at all until, you know, training camp happened. But with Newman opting out, now they're going with JT Daniel, and he has a high ceiling, but hadn't played a lot of football, and I know they have a super talented defense and roster. I go back and forth. You know, I think Georgia will be slightly better defensively, but I think Florida will be significantly better offensively. You know, Florida has the best quarterback and the best tight end in the conference preseason. Yeah. Preseason anyway, and a bunch of speedsters at receiver. I mean, they're going to be good on offense. Dan Mullen's a good coach. They're going to score some points. That game might come down to the fact that Georgia, I mean, the division might come down to the fact that Georgia has to play Alabama and Florida does not.
My buddies are telling me that tight end's a top 10 NFL pick. Is that true?
He's a first round caliber tight end. He needs to get a little bigger. He's real thin. He's light. He's like a glorified wide receiver. He's not a good blocker yet. But if he puts on another 10 or 15 pounds, yeah, I mean, he's already the best pass-catching tight end in the SEC for sure.
Right.
I don't know that he's a top 10 pick.
Steve, we appreciate it.
Tight ends just don't get picked that high.
Well, and
rarely, anyway.
And you would need a team that would actually need and value a tight end that high to pick him that high. I think he's got that kind of talent, but yeah, it's difficult. It's a unique set of circumstances that gets a tight end drafted in the top 10 on a couple of different levels. All right, you were looking at Colin Hill, South Carolina's starting quarterback, who Tennessee will face coming up 8 days from right now.
Yeah, so, you know, in looking at it right here, and I'm finishing up this one part right here, 0-2. So, all right, here, this is 1-8. He's 1-8 versus Mountain West teams.
As really? So in conference games?
Yeah, in conference games, he's got one win. Looks like they beat Utah State his freshman year. But then the next year, you know, not 2017, but 2018, when he played a lot of football, he was 0-5. They lost to Illinois State, which is not, you know, that's non-conference. But then they have Boise State loss, Wyoming loss, Nevada loss, Utah State loss, Air Force loss. So at the helm in 2018, he was 0 wins, 5 losses. In 2016, he was 1-1. And last year, to start the year off, he lost to Colorado. So that would just be 1. So he's actually 1-7. Sorry.
It's not a great average for in-conference games. Doesn't yeah, he still a ton
it's of not good. Well,
forward.
Against Power 5 teams, period, he's 3-10.
Well, Will Muschamp thinks he's the best quarterback he has available.
No, that's not. Sorry, that's not. He's 3-10, like, period, as the guy taking the majority of the snaps. I used minimum 10 passes as the benchmark for that. If he attempted more than 10 passes, which in most of these games it was significantly more than that, he only led Colorado State to a victory 3 times and had 10 losses. So
what South Carolina's going with?
That's what they're going with. You know, and, you know, he's going to be playing with significantly better players at South Carolina, so there is that. But he also has to play against significantly better defenses.
Yeah.
That's what I would worry about. You know, at least Helinski has seen this conference before. Right. I guess Colin Hill played Arkansas.
But they got
hammered.
It was a close game for a while, but it was the one that Arkansas actually finally won last
year. I'm just, you know, on 3rd down and 4-6, but very easy pass completion down. Brunt, you can run or pass. He has converted 3rd downs 64.5% of the time. He's 20 for 31 throwing the football. So on 3rd and 4-6, when they throw the ball, he moved the chains right at 65%. That's good. 3rd and 7-9, 14 out of 27. That's a 52% conversion rate on 3rd and 7-9. That's actually not that bad either. Here's where it gets real bad. 3rd and 10+, 8 for 50. Moving the chains 16% of the time. 3rd and 10+, when they threw the ball with him at quarterback at Colorado State, only 16% of the time did they actually convert the 3rd down. He completed quite a few of those balls. Obviously, he's throwing check downs, swing passes. He's throwing a lot of stuff short of the sticks. But, I mean, he seems okay. You know, he's pretty decent in the red zone. I think he's probably a guy that Muschamp feels like he can go out there with and he won't screw it up.
He's not going to lose him the game.
He may not lose him the game. I would challenge that approach. If you're South Carolina, you can't be going into any of the games you play with a let's just not beat ourselves. The only teams that can do that are teams that have a significant talent advantage over who they're playing.
And South Carolina will not have that.
They will not have that. So if they think they're just going to come out here and, you know, run the ball and have a simple game plan and all that kind of stuff, I mean, that will be a long day at the office for them, because you know Pruitt and Ansley are going to 1,000,000% make Colin Hill throw the football to beat us. Mm-hmm. And when you go stuff the run with run blitzes, I mean, that means you're bringing pressures, you're getting to the quarterback. I would imagine we will have a very aggressive game plan against them, especially because I think that you can trust maybe other than Henry T. I mean, the three most trustworthy guys on our team might be our nickel, Schamberger, and our two corners, and Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, as far as knowing what you're going to get and trusting that they're going to do what you want them to do. I mean, this is their third year in the program. They've all played a lot of football, Schamberger even longer. So knowing that you'll have confidence in your ability to cover people outside, maybe not like flamboyantly, just, you know, bring the house, play zero, not like that, but playing different shades, man-to-man, zone blitz, different pressures, jamming, different things like that. I mean, Pruitt and Ansley should have a lot of confidence in the guys that are going to be playing both in the nickel, inside and outside.
Yeah. So that that's who Tennessee's facing here in 8 days. I feel a little better now after hearing those stats than I did after hearing Will Muschamp rave about him.
Yeah, 1-7 against Mountain West teams as the quarterback, 3-10 overall as the main contributor at quarterback at Colorado State. 3-10.
Not great. Not great. What will be great is when we come back for the final hour of the Eric Ainge Show coming up next. Chad Campbell will join us from Rusty Wallace Honda, the Grand Poobah of Rusty Wallace Honda. We're going to pick some games, and we're going to do it against the spread this week because there's some wide spreads. It's our last week of preseason before our picks panel starts next Friday.
Yeah.
We return to Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville next on the Eric Ainge Show.